Everyone says. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Isn't God good? I want you to find someone that you can talk to, preferably not if you got a spouse, if you're married, just get someone else in your group, groups of two or three this morning. I want you to share your worst experience in terms of a relationship and your best experience in terms of a relationship. Anyone, it can be marriage, it can be just a friend or just family, whatever, just a colleague. So your best experience in a relationship since you've been born now and your worst experience. So it could be the person you're sitting with could be your most amazing experience. If you're married, that should, I guess, be. But share that with some other people that are not married. So let's break up into groups of two or three, or if you want to have four, then let's do that. Share your best experience and your worst experience. We talk about relationships. I mean, this is relationship month. Let's get excited. The purpose of the conversation this morning was to get you to realize that there's nothing better in this life than a relationship that works, isn't that so? Anyone who's married? Amen? I mean, money can buy us lots of things, and this world has a lot of things to offer, and we can be very successful, and we can be even win Olympic gold and break a new world record, but there's nothing better in life than a relationship that works, isn't that so? Because we're relational beings, we're made in the image of God who's three in one, he is relationship, that's who he is, he's in a relationship, he's eternal and he's created us for relationships. But just as great as a working relationship or an awesome marriage can be, just as amazing as any good friendship and any relationship between your kids or you and your kids or just any relationship, as great as it can be when it's blessed, as the opposite it can be if it's not blessed, if there's conflict, I think that's probably the worst thing in life. I think Philip mentioned it last Sunday when we were talking about godly marriage, is just how divorce is just so terrible. It's like sometimes better to die than to get divorced. And I think it's just amazing how God has created us for relationships. God has created us to have relationships that work, to have relationships that are blessed. And I think you guys have shared now that those times when relationships aren't great, it's a terrible time. It's just not great. It's so frustrating and so like you just you want it fixed. Actually, even though you want to walk away sometimes, you really want it fixed. And I think there's no one here in this room that has never had a problem with any relationship in your life. It doesn't matter how good you are at relationships, because some of us are very good with relationships, some of us are not so good with relationships, but it doesn't matter who you are, every one of us has had a relational strain in our life. Isn't that so? Amen. We can all nod. You're like, yeah. Talk to me. So we're in the middle of this relational, actually at the end, okay? Next week, in creation goes on, we talk too much about relationships, so we talk about God and creation, it's going to be awesome. So come next week. So we just make for a relationship month where we just want to stand still a little bit at relationships. So this morning, I want to look at a key this morning to all godly relationships. We're praying with intercessors before the time, and I just told them I've got this key. I'm so excited this morning. I'm going to share this, and I didn't pray at all because I don't want them to know. Because I also want them to know. Okay, we want to sit in the service. We want to know what is this key you've got in your relationship. And so it's applied to all relationships. So this morning specifically, we may be talking to more married couples tonight. We'll talk to the students because that's maybe more. Not necessarily marriage, but just in how to pursue a marriage and how to be a godly person that you can have godly relationships, and then hopefully you'll find that one person who's going to walk the journey with you for the rest of your life. But this is applicable, I believe, to every single relationship. And you see, we need to go to the one who's the author of all relationships. Amen. And that's why you're here this morning. That's why you're in church. To get to Jesus is the author and the finisher of all relationships. So this morning I want to look at, just go back to Genesis chapter 2. See, God created man for a relationship right from the beginning, and he blessed him, and he said, don't fall the earth, you know, multiply and do all sorts of amazing things, because, you know, I'm with you and I created you. And that was at the end of Genesis 1. And then in Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, God gave the first commandment. Anyone know what the first commandment is in the Bible? I know what you're going to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what the first commandment is in the Bible. Yeah, I guess you could say that was almost a blessing, but it was like a, go forth and multiply. That was like, you know, it's your choice to do it. But this is the commandment said here. The first time the word command is mentioned here is in verse 16. The Lord took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The first commandment, or the first thing that God said you cannot do, is to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, God gave Adam a choice, and you know what he gave with that choice? He gave clear boundaries with that choice. He said that you can eat of every single tree. He gave us so many choices. He gave us actually an amazing abundance of blessings, but he said that there's just this one thing that you're not allowed to do, and that's to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because you're going to die. And so, God said, you can do this, you do this, but you're not allowed to do that. And if you do that, which I said you're not allowed to do, there's consequences. And so we know what happened. Those consequences came into being. Adam and Eve disobeyed, and they died. All of us are born spiritually dead. All of us have had to live in that sinfulness since we've been born. And you see, it affected mankind spiritually because he died, and it affected every single relationship after that. It affected, first of all, his relationship with God, and then his relationship with his fellow man. So when it comes to relationships, the Lord just showed me this stuff and I was going through this, that when it comes to relationships, something was lost at the beginning. Something special was lost right at the beginning, and I believe that there's a key to all godly relationships. Are you guys thinking, well, what is this? It's not so obvious. But we'll get to it now. Time for the next slide update. At the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, at the end of this chapter, that Paul writes, and he talks about these amazing promises from God, and he says, you know what? God has come to be your God. And you're going to be his people. And he makes these amazing promises, and then he talks also about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, and he says, you know, make sure that you're equally yoked with the believer. And when marriage comes to marriage, that's so crucial, is we shouldn't be unequally yoked. Or any business partnership. If you're doing something serious, if you're doing a contract or hectic stuff with someone, you should be equally yoked. You should at least be on the same page spiritually with that person. And it just talks about, you know, the sinfulness, and that God has come to restore us and all of that. And then it just says that in verse 1 of chapter 7. And sorry, before we get there, it also talks about a separation, it talks about a coming out of the world, it talks about basically godly relationships, starting with our relationship with God, the end of 2 Corinthians 6. And then in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, and you can put the scripture up, Paul says, therefore, having these promises, those promises he's talking about is the previous chapter, you can go read that, there's all awesome stuff, God ends up and saying, I want you to come out and I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. I believe this is what Jesus Christ came to restore in terms of relationships. He came to restore that which was lost by Adam and Eve at the beginning. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the
fear
of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I believe this is what we need to have restored in all of our relationships. If we want to have godly relationships, then I believe we need to say, we need to come back to the fear of the Lord. Because it says the only way we're going to perfect holiness, the only way we're going to do this Christian life, and the only way we're going to remove all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, because that is, I believe, what affects many times our relationships with people, with our spouse, with children, with anyone, is if there's no holiness in the fear of the Lord. If you're not being made holy in the fear of God, then that's a... So I want you to stay with me this morning. I just want you to... It's just the introduction here. Jesus came to restore the fear of God in our lives. And I believe if we can get this right, if we can come back to that place of having healthy boundaries in our relationships, guess what? In marriage, there's also boundaries, amen. You know, you young people ask, you know, like, so how, you know, what can we do in marriage, like, you know, in terms of like physical stuff? And we did a session with the engaged couples the other night of, you know, physical, like the intimacy part of marriage. And then the questions are like, you know, so what, you know, is anything possible? Does anything go? And so we said, well, look, yeah, it's got to be mutual. So in a way, there's still boundaries, there's still a healthy godliness that must happen in every single marriage, even though your marriage is like not a free for all. And I believe there's a lot of strain in relationships, specifically in our church, but I think in the body of Christ, because this thing has left the body of Christ, amen. Because there's so much grace and hyper grace and like, you know, it's just love, 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 grace, 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 you know, like, and we forget about that God is a God of love, and He's a God of severity, and a God of holiness. It says, behold the severity and the love of God. And so sometimes we so want the love side because it's kind of, you know, love covers a multitude of sins, but if we don't have the fear of God in our relationships and in our marriages and our friendships and in church specifically, then we're just the same as the world. Can anyone agree? Then are we really believers? Are we separate? Are we, this thing that Paul writes, are we different? Come out of the world. I'm excited about this because I think if we can grasp this, I think it's going to set us free because we are so drawn to the world in the body of Christ that we're so, you know, sort of want to be like the world, but we know we're separate. So we can't be separate because we're not doing this thing. We're not perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I believe it starts in relationships. I believe it starts with our marriage. It starts with our relationships with our kids as well. Healthy boundaries. So what is the fear of the Lord? That's what I want to look at this morning. That there's a definition that I heard. It's to fear God is to desire to live in harmony with His righteous standards and to honor Him in all that you do. And so that again, to fear God is to desire to live in harmony with His righteous standards and to honor Him in all that you do. So I'm talking to married couples here this morning. I'm talking to fathers and mothers. I'm talking to grandparents even. I'm talking to friends of friends. Or you in a relationship, you're not married, or you're engaged, or you're just a member of the church. I'm talking to everyone this morning. I want you to consider the relationships in your life. And is the fear of God present in those relationships? Or are we just taking each other for granted? And are we just, you know, walking in and out of each other's lives? And even in marriage, we just take each other so for granted. And I'm convicted of it myself. Because I want the fear of God back in my marriage, and we can have a godly marriage, and we can walk by God's ways and not by our own ways. So I'm talking a little bit to some prideful hearts here this morning, including my own. So we're going to have to humble ourselves this morning, amen. Because when the fear of God comes in, we have to humble ourselves, otherwise the fear of God will not come in. Fear that God doesn't force His presence on us, and the fear of God isn't, we don't have to receive the fear of God. Paul says there's perfect holiness in the fear of God. So you need to embrace the fear of God. So Psalm 34 says some amazing things in verse 11 to 14. It says, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Anyone of us desire life, love many days and see good? Who wants that? I want to live long. I want to live to 120. So who of us want life and love many days that we may see good? Well, the following is the definition, I believe, of the fear of the Lord. It says, number one, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Get back to that scripture now. Proverbs 8 verse 30. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Tell someone next to you, hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And that talks about wisdom. It's talking there in Proverbs 8 about wisdom. I want to tell you a story. I don't know about the other side. When we were first married, it was a bit of a challenge, our first year of marriage. I'm not going to expose you, but it exposed me, my sinfulness. But it was a bit of a challenge, and she wanted to, I think, go to, she was offered a trip to Zanzibar with her work and everything, and I was like, no, I don't want this to happen, she must go away, and I'm in control, I'll say yes or no, so I held her a little bit tight, you know, tight brain, you know, this eagle just wants to fly, I'm like, okay. So we had a bit of an argument that morning, and she's like getting very resistant, like, no, I'm going, you know, I'm definitely going, I'm like, no, you're not, and so she's just like getting more resistant, more she's just getting like, and I literally take her by the neck, and I was so frustrated with her, like, I literally almost strangled her, I was so angry, I literally almost hit her, but I took her like physically around the neck, and I'm like, and she got freaked out, and so she runs out the house, like this night, one morning, we're supposed to be going to work, so she runs out the house, and locks all the doors, and then I'm excited, I can't remember, then I went outside, and then she locked me out like that, and I was supposed to be going to work, because it's been 7 or 8 in the morning, like that. And so I'm so frustrated, I'm so angry with her, and I can see she like, she wants to run away, she wants to start flipping her bags and everything, and it's like, I just, suddenly, the fear of God hits me. And I'm in the house, and I think I was inside. Then she didn't want to speak to me. She was just, I think she was outside the house at the time. That's right. I came in, and then she locked herself out. I don't know what. And I just realized that I just said, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. Let's talk about it. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was doing. And I just, a breakdown on the floor. And I've never wept like that in my life. I was like, fear of God hit me, like, seriously. For about 5 or 10 minutes, I'm like, can't control myself, and I'm like, I'm broken. And so I go to my friend who's lived up the road, he was married for a bit longer, one of the leaders in the church, and I just get, I knock at his door, and we're not talking much. I just said, I'm going to go to Monet's house now, because I can't, I need to pray with someone, she just wants to speak to me, we're really angry with each other, she's more angry with me, I just want to make up. And so I go to Monet's shop, he looks at me, I go to his door, and he's like, just what's wrong? Like, my eyes are like red, I'm like seriously, yeah, I'm just broken. And luckily I had time to still make it to work and stuff, it was early enough, but, you know, then you don't feel like eating, nothing's a problem then, you just sort out this thing. And so he prays for me, and then I shared, he said, just, yo, this is quite serious, you know, because if you start getting physical with your wife, it's like, But let's just pray, and we'll take it from here. And I'm so repenting, I'm just repenting, I'm saying, I can't believe this happened, I don't know where this comes from. But I'm just experiencing in my life the fear of the Lord coming in into this relationship. Because at times, it was close to that, and then it just happened, and so I realized there's something in my heart. And the Lord really delivered me of a lot of stuff that day, continue to do it, you know, praise the Lord for His goodness in my life. See, why do we need the fear of the Lord in our lives? It's just exactly for that thing, because we say words, we do actions, and we have wrong motives. There's three aspects of every relationship. And That's what Psalm 34 is talking about. He's talking first of all about the tongue, because it's our words. Our words can kill someone. You know, we have that thing, sticks and stones can break my bones, and words can never kill me. You know, it's wrong. So words can kill a person. Words can kill a spirit. Words can break and crush a spirit of someone. Especially if it's close. And so Psalm 34:13 says that we need to have words that will produce good and not evil. We need to speak good, and that when the fear of the Lord comes in, that's what it's going to produce. Good stuff and not evil stuff. And we're not supposed to speak lies or deceit or flattery or make empty promises, because these words can kill a relationship. And then it talks also about our actions. It talks about depart from evil and do good. It speaks about your actions. You've got to have good actions and not bad. And if you don't do good actions, you're going to do bad actions. And so, you see, I've just realized in life, you cannot be neutral here. Either you're speaking good stuff or you're speaking bad stuff. But we, as people, we've been made to speak, isn't that so? In a marriage, you're supposed to communicate. You've been made to speak. So even silence is not a good thing. And it's very difficult to stay silent for, you know, some of us have those silent moments for long, depending on your personality. But eventually you'll start to speak something, because either you're going to speak good, or you're going to speak, you know, speak evil. You can't be so neutral. So if you're not speaking good, if you're not blessing another person, if you're not honoring another person, if you're not speaking life, then we're going to be tempted to look at the stuff that's not wrong, and we're going to speak bad stuff. And it's the same with actions. That's why I love what the psalmist says. He says, depart from evil and do good. There's a key to departing from evil. Anyone know what that is? To do good. If you're not going to do good, you're going to end up doing evil. It's just very difficult to do nothing. That's why people are so tempted. If we're not seeking the kingdom of God first, if you're not doing stuff for God, you know what we're going to do? Stuff for the devil. We're going to just either be passive and do nothing, which I believe is also not doing good. You know, also not doing good. It's actually doing evil if we do nothing. You know that saying about evil prevails when good people do nothing? Just, I heard something amazing yesterday. I heard something I'm probably going to work out a sermon on this at the Leadership Development Weekend yesterday. A guy said that, you know, if you look at the parable, and this is just something extra, I've just thought about now, the parable of the talents. You know what faithfulness is? You know, most of us think faithfulness is maintaining. Anyone think that faithfulness is maintaining? You know, being faithful, coming to work early, coming, you know, every day doing the same thing. You know, that's not faithfulness, according to the Bible. You know what faithfulness is? It's multiplication. It's increasing. It's growth. The parable of the talents. The guy who stayed the same, he was told he's wicked. Isn't that hectic? He maintained. He just had the same. Faithfulness is not maintaining. Faithfulness is increasing. It's growth. It's multiplication. It's a bit challenging. It's a little bit off the topic here, but you see, we need to do good. Not only in our relationships, it's just in general, because that's the fear of the Lord allows us to come and do good. Let the kingdom of God come. Because otherwise we're just going to do evil. And we need to depart from evil and do good. And then lastly, so first of all, it's talking about our words, then our actions, and then lastly, the stuff that I think is so important. That's what's in here. It's our motives. Because that's the stuff that you don't see. That's the stuff that's living deep inside the heart. What are your motives? It says, seek peace and pursue it. If your motive is not to make peace, it's not talking about peacekeepers. It's not talking about keeping peace. It's talking about making peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. You need to seek peace. Not just try to keep the peace. Because you know what we do when we try to keep the peace? Then we don't really talk honestly. And so, in all relationships, our motives must be true. We must be peacemakers. It's all about our motives. We need to pursue it. We need to say, God, is my heart clean all the time? What are the motives in this relationship? Is it all about me? I mean myself. And this is where lust comes in. This is where your words and your actions actually reflect what's in your heart. Isn't that so? So it actually is like the reverse way. It starts with emotions. It starts always in the heart. It starts with thoughts. Then it goes over to words and to actions. And that's why when lust is involved in a relationship, and I'm not talking now just about sexual lust, because lust is all about what I want out of the relationship. So are you in your marriage, or are you in a friendship, or are you in a, whatever relationship you're in, is it to get out of it, or is it to put into it? Because where lust is involved, it cannot be godly, and it can never honor God. Amen. When there's lust in a relationship, it cannot be godly, and then I believe the reason why it's like this is because there's something that's missing, and it's called the fear of God. It's that boundary which God put in place, and Adam and Eve disobeyed, that Jesus Christ has come to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Because that's the big eye, the pride. Well, what am I going to get out of this? And it's the same. So in your marriage, think about it right now. Think about, are you in this thing for yourself and for what you can get out of it, or is it for what you can be? And I remember with Esther, I realized God is doing something in my life, because I would get so excited about her achievements and her success. And she would get embarrassed at one stage, because I would just brag about my amazing wife, and I still do. I could even more, because I just love her so much more. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. I didn't quite think that in the first year, because it was all about me, and I couldn't see this amazing word God had given me. I just saw the stuff that I wanted, and I don't want you to go, and I'm holding you back, because I'll pull the shots here, and all of this stuff. But I get excited about it, and I say, you know what, I'm in it to help you grow your business as well. I'm in it to bless you. And to start, all I want to do is just to be at every prayer meeting and to seek the kingdom with me. And, kind of forced her a little bit to do a lot of stuff, and she actually did it out of obedience. But her heart wasn't always in it. It's not that. It's a really good strength in your relationship. But now I say to you, you've got a calling. God has gifted you, and I'm excited. I want to help you as well to fulfill your calling. You're not just here to help me. And I know she helps me amazing. The people that she's discipling, the incredible burden that she's taking off me in this church to minister to the ladies is amazing, and there's fruit. So I'm a celebrator. But you see, if I'm in it for myself and it's just about me, then we need to talk about it. So we can use that as an example, or we can use the example of just your relationship with people in church, or your relationship with the body of Christ. Are you in it for what you can get out of it, or are you in it to serve, to make a difference, to bless someone else in their calling and in their ministry? Or do you just want to be a leader, just call the shots all the time? Yesterday I was just so encouraged again about the people that are in our leadership, that just their hearts, they're with us that we're sharing. And just the team that we're in as a church is just so amazing. Just pure hearted people that are laying down their lives. And I'm inspired to serve them even more. I'm inspired. And that's why I drove up to Pretoria, and I think I'm going to be at this thing, because I honor your commitment to come all the way from the Cape up to Pretoria to present your hearts. And all I could hear out of that seminar was, heart for the kingdom, heart for people to be healed and saved and delivered. So I'm excited. I want to encourage you to consider coming to Convergence. Make that effort. Why? Because we're family. We're not in it for, I'm comfortable in these fires. We're in it because God is doing something. God is doing amazing stuff. So check your hearts. Are your hearts in it for yourself? Are you just here to get out of your marriage, or to get out of a friendship, or to get out of church, what you can get out of, what you want? Or are you here to be it? Because if there's lust involved, then it's not godly. Amen. If it's all about me and myself and my growth and my stuff, we need to invite the fear of the Lord to come back into our relationships. Proverbs talks about incredible benefits. Just read Proverbs and look at the benefits of the fear of the Lord. It talks about the beginning of knowledge. You know what I want? Knowledge. We need knowledge in relationships, we need knowledge in life, but it says knowledge doesn't happen unless there's the fear of the Lord. Knowledge starts with the fear of the Lord, it can't start anywhere else. Knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. My dad always has this funny saying, he says, now some are wise and some are otherwise. So we don't need to be otherwise, we need to be wise people. Especially in the day and age have you living in the beginning of wisdom? Then it talks about not a fear of the Lord prolongs days. I mean, we want to live long, we want to be effective, we want to have the most influence in this earth that we can. So let's invite the fear of the Lord in. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That is amazing. You can be confident in Christ and not in yourself. When you have the fear of the Lord, it's a fountain of life. I think we need this in our marriages. Can anyone say amen? A fountain of life. It leads to life. It riches, honor, and life come from the fear of the Lord. I think we need this in all of our relationships with our kids. We need this. We need to have a fountain of life in our homes. We need the fear of the Lord to bring life again, to bring riches, honor, and life. So many benefits. I think you're getting my point. Then this amazing scripture in Ephesians 5. This for me is like the body of believers that God wants, you know, because God wants to send the lost to us. God wants to send the broken to us. God wants us to invite the people into our community. But if the community doesn't live by God's ways, you know what, then we rather don't want the lost. Because they might just get more broken in our midst. Amen. I might just get more hurt. See then that you walk circumspectly. In Ephesians 5, it's just been a great chapter of just godliness, and it talks here about the church. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then a verse that sums it all up, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And guess what chapter, or guess what passage of scripture comes just after this? Anyone know? The one that Philip used last supper for godly marriages, biblical marriages. Husbands, it starts with wives. Submit your husbands, love your wives. You see, if you don't get this right, it's going to be difficult to get the other one. And I remember, you know, I learned so much of this in this church. When I was single still, and you're understanding just walking in this fear of the Lord, submitting to one another. And so when I met my wife, you know, I started to learn a few things, but I just realized I'm not primarily in this just for myself. I want a godly marriage. I want a marriage where we can have godly kids and we can see God's kingdom come. That was my true desire. But I guess when you get married, a lot of stuff is exposed. You think you know it all, but you realize you are still very simple. It's still very full of me and myself. But I'm so thankful that I grew up in Ecuador, that I got discipled in a church where I could learn a little bit more of this community, of a church walking in the fear of the Lord, where every believer has the responsibility. It's not only about marriage. It's just about relationships, where covenant is made possible. Christ died for covenant. And, you know, there is only one covenant relationship, but you know what? We're supposed to be a covenant community, where Christ is the one who's made the covenant possible. So we don't make covenant relationships with other people, far from our wives, but we live in this, it's a serious relationship. We submit to one another in the fear of God. And I believe if we're going to be a church walking in the fear of the Lord, you know what? I think people will be saved in our church, people will be healed in our church, people will be delivered, people will experience God's presence. Why? Because they can see the love for one another. You know, the love we want for one another is often not a godly love. It's just a fleshly love. It's just love one another. We just, you know, it's all about me, actually. And you know, I think a relationship can work. When you're not expecting anything from me and I'm not expecting anything from you, I think it can work. If you just need it for yourself and that person's in it for themselves, I think it can work. But do you think that's godly? I don't think so. I think there's a submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And a marriage like this works because we're in it for the other person. We're in it to serve. We're in it to give. We're in it to bless. And so I want to challenge us this morning, starting with our marriages, starting with our kids, starting with the close relationships in us. But let us let us be a community, let us be a church who walks in the fear of the Lord, where we're not fools, but we're wise. We understand that the days are evil. We understand the will of the Lord. We're not drunk with wine. In other words, we're not missing the purpose. We're not unfocused. We're focused people filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it just talks about encouragement. It talks about speaking to one another, encouraging one another, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, it was so amazing this morning. Me and Annika and who was the other one? Marika, yeah. We prayed this morning, and you know, it was just amazing. God just gave me this song, and you know what? This chorus about let it rain. And we just started to sing, let it rain. Just amazing. And singing songs to the Lord. Sometimes some of us must, you know, make melody in our hearts because it doesn't sound so good. You know, like me. I'm not a musician like this amazing band we have. So that's what the Bible says. But just make a melody, sing a song, encourage someone, psalms, hymns, giving thanks for all things. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we're so unthankful. We just want, and we see what's wrong instead of being thankful in the name of the Lord, and then submit to one another. In this thing called the fear of God. Listen to the scripture, Acts chapter 9, 31. This is so exciting. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, and they were unified. And what happened? They were multiplied. And what did they do to have multiplication? They did two things. They walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I believe for us as a church, in fact for any church, this is me. If we don't walk in the fear of the Lord, and we don't walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I think multiplication is going to struggle. Amen? Growth is going to struggle. So I want us, and I believe God really wants us to walk in the fear of the Lord in every single relationship, and to invite the Spirit of God to reveal the fear of God in our relationships. And to honor relationships, to honor them for different positions, different ways, different functions, different gifts. And it says they were multiplied because they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I just realize again, when I talk about the fear of the Lord, that you can't separate the fear of the Lord from the Spirit of God. And it's amazing, you know, we're a charismatic church. So we should walk in the true fear of the Lord, you know, because if you don't have the Spirit, you talk about the fear of God, you know what brings this condemnation and guilt and all this stuff. And a lot of people, a lot of churches, I think they understand the fear of the Lord, but they don't understand the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the true fear of God. It's all about the law and guilt, condemnation, and that's what we don't want. Amen? And we want both. We want the fear of the Lord. We want the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then there's no place for the law. There's no place for condemnation. There's place for healing. There's place for being honest, being open, being free. The last scripture. Before I read that scripture, I just want to quote what Oswald Chambers said. He says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. But if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. I think many of us fear failure, even in relationships. We'll be so caught up with, is this relationship going to work or not? And we walk by fear. Because we're not fearing God, we're not saying, God, I want you to come in the center. Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and be the center of this marriage, be the center of this friendship, the center of this church, Lord. Bring us together in the fear of God, because if we don't, we're going to just fear failure and fear all sorts of rejection and all sorts of stuff that happens. And then we go back to that same place where relationships are bad. It's terrible. And then what we do, we close up and we don't want relationships because we've been so hurt. And so we just isolate ourselves and just stay on our own island because it's just easy. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be hurt. And you know what? Trust goes out the door. Blessing goes out the door. You know what? It's difficult to restore it again. Unless we say, Holy Spirit, be the healer. Bring the fear of God back in. Jesus Christ can teach us this. He's the only one who can teach us. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The prophecy about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Does that sound familiar? Have we dealt with that already? Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Sure, it will never be sound. And then it goes on. It gets even the scripture. It's just awesome. Who knows the Word of God? The Word of God is powerful, guys. Yeah, I just want to spend more and more preaching, I want to spend more time in the Word of God, amen. We should all, we're all preachers, because we must preach the good news. I'm not going to preach to people that you can reach, but you can preach to those you can reach. It's awesome. His delight, listen to this, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. You know how many of us don't delight in the fear of the Lord? We're scared of the fear of God. We just want the love because it's comfortable and it feels good. Rub my back, it's like a start, you know, it's cool. The fear of God is also good. It just keeps us focused, it keeps us in alignment, it keeps us in God's purposes and in His presence. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And guess what happens? If you delight in the fear of the Lord, guess what? Your marriage can be so blessed. Why? Because you do not judge by the sight of your eyes or the sight by the hearing of your ears. You just know. God is here, and this person is sinful, and they still make mistakes. But you know what? I forgive them immediately. I forgive them immediately. And I repent when I make a mistake. Why? Because my delight is in the fear of the Lord. I don't have to judge by what I see. I live by faith and not by sight. I live by the hearing of what I see, what my spirit experiences, not the hearing of what my ears hear. So I'm excited, guys, about this key that God has revealed to me. And I trust that He'll reveal it to you in a greater way in this next one. So all I want us to do this morning is, as the band comes forward, and we just close our eyes and just ask the Holy Spirit this morning to come and reveal what this really means to you practically. There's a lot of implications in this message this morning, but and we can't go through one of them, but I believe for each one of us, the Spirit is, I pray this morning, and I just said, Holy Spirit, this is such a, it's a general message, but Lord, I know you're so specific because you love each person that came in here this morning. You're so excited about each person. You want to reveal it to each person in their specific way, where they're at. And for you guys specifically, it's mainly married couples here this morning. There are some students. We're going to talk to the students tonight about how to apply this thing. And just being godly with where you're seeking to find a life partner, where you're seeking to find the right person. So we can talk about lots of ways of how to find your life partner, how to make your marriage work, but I believe, and there are lots of methods, there are lots of ways, but I believe if we invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the fear of God, and we bring back those boundaries, but you know what? There's respect for the other person, there's forgiveness, there's freedom, there's just so much life. That's what I get out of the Word of God. There's a train from the Old and New Testaments, there's this fountain of life. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's come to reveal Jesus to us. He's come to bring Jesus back into our relationships. Pastor Fred talked about it at the beginning with the whole love one another thing. He says, if Jesus is not in the middle, if we're not looking at people through the eyes of Jesus, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to have high expectations, unhealthy expectations of other people. So Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would come this morning. By the power of your word, and by the presence right now of your Holy Spirit, that you come and reveal, Lord, where we just have so gone casual, Lord, with relationships, gone casual with our spouses, Lord. Even the Lord gone casual with you, Lord. And this morning as a church, God, we repent because we just going on, Lord, as if you just have left the room. We just trying to do so many things in our own strength. We're trying to make things work. Lord, we bring back your order this morning and we say, Holy Spirit, come and bring back the fear of God in our lives. Come and bring back an awe and a healthy reverence and a worship of who you are. And come and bring a revelation, Lord, that it's not by the law, Lord. It's not the fear without the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that rests upon Jesus. And Jesus, thank you that you deposited your Spirit. You sent your Spirit when you left. You went up to heaven and you sent your Spirit, poured out your Spirit on all flesh. We are believers here who are filled with your Spirit, Lord. Some of us aren't even filled with your Spirit this morning, but I pray for an infilling of your Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing this morning in every life, Lord. Lord, once we got filled with the Spirit, Lord, we're so dry. Some of us are so dry, Lord. We need to be filled with your Spirit and filled up again with a healthy understanding of the fear of God. We see the benefits of life, the benefits of honor, the benefits of strength, Lord, the benefits are so full of wisdom and understanding, God, and we need that in the times that we're living in. And I ask Spirit of God that you come this morning, God, that you reveal this to your people. I just want you to show of hands this morning. I want you to come and pray for you right now. If you want to invite the Spirit of God to come and reveal to you the fear of God this morning, then I want you to put up your hand and say, Lord, in my marriage, that's me, Lord. I want the fear of God back. I want healthy relationships, healthy boundaries. I want to honor my spouse for who she is and who he is. If you want the fear of God back in friendships, just in any relationship, then just put up your hand. The Lord is wanting to bless you this morning because he just wants to see who's hungry for him this morning. Who's hungry for him this morning? Put up your hand nice and high. Everyone, if you want the fear of God, then come. Be bold. Ask the Lord for it. Ask the Lord for it right now. Thank you for all those hands. God sees your hand this morning. You're not doing it to me. You're doing it to him. Say, God, I want the fear of God. I want all that in my life because I'm so broken. So many relationships have hurt me, and Lord, I don't want to go on like this. I want a healthy understanding of you first. And I want to honor you in my relationships, in my marriage. God, I thank you for every hand here this morning, Lord. I thank you for lives that are busy changing right now, Lord. I ask that you would come by the fear of God, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord. That you would come back, Lord. We know you invite us, Lord. You never force yourself. You ask us to just respond and just invite you in. And I pray that all of our hearts would invite you truly in this morning, Lord. Come and heal, Lord, relationships that have been broken or that are straining at the moment. I thank you that by your Spirit you come and bring that order again, Lord. You come and bring that fountain of life, that joy. It speaks about joy. Joy restored in this church again. Joy restored in our relationships, God. As a church this morning, we come and we say, bring it amongst us, the Spirit of God. Come and move amongst every marriage, amongst every, Lord, where there's leaders and cell groups, Lord, and we've just become so casual, Lord, with each other, Lord. And I pray that we'd repent of that this morning. We turn away. If you need to repent in your heart, just repent to God, because that's the key to inviting God in, just to say sorry. If you have missed it, say sorry in your own life. Say sorry to God for taking your cell members for granted, taking your cell leader for granted, for just almost demanding that something must happen, otherwise I'm not coming, you know? Something must happen in church, but otherwise I'm not coming. Just repent of that this morning. If God is speaking to you about that, bring your heart before the Lord. Say, God, I'm here to serve. I'm here to give in this relationship. I'm here to give in this marriage. I'm here to give for forever, Lord. I'm not a giver. I want to be like you. You are a giver, Lord. I want to give of my finances. I want to give of my time, Lord. I want to give of. I'm so selfish. It's all about me. Life is all about me. And if you're feeling like that this morning, if your life is just about you, even if some marriages, your life is just about your marriage, God wants to bless you, because so when you have kids, I want to tell you guys that are young married, you know, it's a blessed thing, because you just get the limit of yourself. Marriage is not about just being happy. And kids make you holy. Other people in your life make you holy. When you disciple others, you know, you get challenged. So if your life is just about yourself, or even your marriage this morning is just about you and your spouse, and it's just so great because we've arrived. God wants to deliver you, wants to set you free this morning of your selfishness. So we all need to be. So Lord, thank you that we're young. Not to just hear a nice word, we're here to be challenged this morning, God. We worship you, Jesus. Just do business with the Lord this morning. The band will just continue to minister. Just if you really need to do business with, if you need prayer specifically, if there's a lot of stuff that's surfacing at the moment, just come. We'd love to pray with you. I know that this is not just going to stop with this message this morning. I know God is going to come and confirm His Word in your life if you open to it. He's so faithful. Lord, bring back the fear of God in our lives. We're sorry, Lord. We're sorry. Just even for taking you for granted, Lord. God, you've done everything for us. You died on the cross to save us, Lord. We just so go on with life as if nothing happened. Just say sorry to the Lord for taking Him for granted, for not allowing a healthy honor and respect of God in your life. Then go into your marriage or your even relationship with your children, where you just don't look at them through God's eyes. than look at other people or leaders in your life or even your boss or even ungodly people. God wants you to be godly, not for unhealthy ties or even just look at people as if they're just some stuff. They're people. I really believe the Lord is stirring our hearts and just giving us His love again. As He brings in the sphere of Him in our lives again, it's just going to cause such a love for people to flow. I just sense such a love for each other. The love is going to start here in this church. It's going to start now where we just so love each other in a godly way. And if you signal here this morning, God is going to give you such a love for other, the opposite sex, but it's a godly love, and He's going to show you who that right one is out of this place, not out of a place where you're trying to look for what you can get. But we'll talk about more about that tonight with the students. So Lord, our desire is that you do it in our church, God. I want you to pray also for the church this morning, for us as a church, for the students, for anyone else. Just pray that God would come and do this in our midst.